If we've not all met, my name's Billy Arnold, and I'm one of the pastors here. Mike Freeman's going to be leading us a lot, too. He's one of the pastors here as well. And this is a team of people who are multiple in names, and we're all together. They're helping to lead us, but this is a group effort. I called you guys the corporate family hello. We are the corporate family here tonight. And even if not all of you know each other. So here's what I want you to do as we just kind of get started. And again, there's just a handful of people still coming in, but we're going to start here in just a second. But I want everybody to stand up. Everybody stand up. And I want you to give somebody a big Christmas hug somewhere near you. Give them a greeting. Well, it is great to see all of you. You can all be seated if you would, please. Big kahuna, the big finish, the big finale, the ending, all right? That's a big party. That's a good one. I like that. That'll work. You're going to give us commentary the whole service, I have a feeling. But anyway, and that's okay. We are a family, as I said this evening. Inside your program, you're going to find some basic kinds of things that really, a cool little deal that Mike actually put together that might help you in your Christmas reading of telling the story to your family tonight or tomorrow or whatever the appropriate time. It's kind of cool. But also in there is a little welcome card. I would love it if you'd do this for me. Just take that card, and on the back, there's some questions if you want to answer or some things like that. We'd love for you to do that. But this is the only time we're going to say it, so you're going to have to pay attention now. We'd love it if you have a prayer, something that you want prayed for. We as a church family take prayer very seriously, and so I want you to just take some time even now and just say, here's my prayer. And at the end of the service, you can turn that in at the same place that you're going to turn in your candles. And those candles, by the way, everybody should have a candle. If you don't, we have a nice-looking young man, young Matt, in the back. I know that's you. And he'll give you a candle. If you don't have a candle, raise your hand now because you're going to need one because this is a candle light service. And we're going to light candles at the end of all of this. But as a part of that also, I'm going to ask you to do this for me. Don't catch your neighbor on fire, all right? So just don't do that. I'd appreciate it if you don't. Otherwise, Jake Gordon right over here, he's going to be the fireman, and you're responsible for putting them out if they get on fire, all right? So there you go. Bottom line is for this evening, we want you to enjoy the blessing of the evening as we see the coming of Christ. Sing this with me.
Well, welcome and Merry Christmas. Just like Billy said, we're going to be looking at the Advent candles tonight. And if you were here over the past month, every week, every Sunday, we've looked at an Advent candle, and instead of just lighting it, we've actually taught on what they mean, the significance behind each of the candles. And tonight, we're looking at them almost in a new light. Tonight, I want you to look at each candle almost as a gift. In reality, is Jesus, his presence, his life, his death, his resurrection, it's a gift. But these candles are all, in a sense, a gift that we receive with Jesus. And so we're going to start by lighting the very first candle, the candle of promise or preparation. Passage. It's really an oracle. It's a promise. It's a promise given by God to his people roughly 700 years before Jesus was ever born. And it's a promise that we look at when we think about the candle of preparation. This promise, it shows a couple of things. It shows, first of all, that hundreds of years before Jesus came, and really close to thousands of years before we lived, God was preparing to send his son Jesus. God was preparing to send a Messiah. The word is Messiah, and he was preparing to send him in the form of a baby, which is really why we celebrate Christmas. This birth of a child who's coming to be the Savior. Now the funny thing about Christmas is when Jesus is born, the Magi, these wise men from the East, they come bearing gifts for Jesus. They recognize that a new king has entered, and they come to show their respects and to bring them these gifts. But like we said earlier, Christmas is really, it's about the gift we receive of Christ and all of the subsequent gifts that we find ourselves benefiting from also. So in a moment, we're gonna have a prayer. And it's a prayer that really is supposed to be reflective and help you think. But before we have that prayer, I want us to start by thinking about the very first gift we get to receive this Christmas. It's the gift of God preparing to show you he loves you. It's the gift of God, honestly, of God promising something to you. Him promising to send a Savior, the one thing you need more than anything else. It is not just Him promising it, but it's God's promise coming true. The Christmas is about God making a promise and that promise being fulfilled. Jacob, would you pray for us?
Nothing is impossible with God. Let that just sort of soak in for a moment. One of the great phrases in the Bible, one of the great promises in the Bible, nothing is impossible with God. That really is the gift of hope. It's the present. It's the present that was brought. In this world of chaos and issues in our own life, Christ coming into this world brings a new sense of hope that we never really knew before. The days that Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago, there was this constant longing for and looking forward to the coming of hope into the world. And they kept saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then in this particular promise from God, in that story, you have this incredible picture of God saying, hope is arriving. Nothing is impossible with God. Tonight, as we walk through the continuation of the story, you know, we have the traditional candles, but I want you to kind of take a moment and personalize this point, especially as we get further and further down the road to ultimately Christ coming into the world. The candle of hope is not just a traditional candle that we light. It really is a very personal thing and can be a very personal thing for all of us. When we recognize that maybe you even in this room walked into this place kind of with a sense of loss or a sense of too far away or a sense of cannot get things right, a sense of chaos in your life that sort of kind of continues to reign in your life, Christ is the answer. This is a broken world. This is a broken life for every one of us, young and old, all of us who are 10 and all of us who are 90 and anything in between. These are broken lives. When we walked away from God, chaos began to sort of reign in all kinds of ways, relationships, diseases. And we are constantly looking for a sense of restoration. Christ can fix that in your life. Christ can fix you. Christ can fix me. And so I hear that story that Heather just read out of the scripture. It just points to the fact that even 2,000 years ago, they were saying, God, fix me. God, make it right. And He came with this incredible gift, this present. And He said, nothing is impossible with God. Christ can restore you tonight as well. And you just trust Him with your life.
Good news of great joy. Now, so the third candle we light, and the third promise that we really celebrate from Christ is the promise, that the gift of joy. Now, how joyful are you really? You know, if you're here first service, my daughter, we couldn't kind of contain her. We have more family here now, but during one of those songs, she just kind of like prancing in front of the room, like just automatic joy of a five-year-old girl to music, right? But during the Christmas season, we talk about how we're supposed to experience this incredible amount of joy, and it's the season to be merry, and yet most of us know that's not usually our experience. Maybe there's moments where we experience joy. Maybe there's tastes where yeah, you're joyful, but it's much more of an emotion than I think what the angels had in mind when they made this announcement. See, when they said good news of great joy for all people, they weren't talking about there's no longer going to be pain. They weren't telling us that from now on, life is just going to be a cakewalk. No, the joy that they were talking about, the joy that they were proclaiming, is something way better and way bigger than that. The joy that they were announcing that night is this joy that understands that life is full of pain, it's full of depression and disease, and ultimately, life has death. And that's the experience for every single one of us. Yet, God, in the form of Christ, a baby born, he comes and he says, there is something, there's a promise of my love. There's this reality that I care so much for you that I'm going to send my son for you to be born and ultimately to die. And that truth, no matter what you're going through, that truth is what can give you that attitude. Attitude, not feeling, that attitude of delight. See, that's what joy really is. It's an attitude of delight, knowing that God loves you deeply and that his love is going to get you through whatever you're facing.
His first candle was the candle of preparation. The second candle, the candle of hope, something we all need. Third candle was the candle of joy, to be able to stand around and sing hallelujah. This candle, the candle of peace, the candle of peace. It's the very thing that we all look for and long for. In fact, if you watch all the news that goes on tonight, the one theme that often, even for people who are not followers of Christ or believers in Jesus the Messiah, Emmanuel, they cry out for peace at Christmas, if at no other time. As we even talked about in our church last Sunday, in all of human history, in the thousands of years of human history, to be honest with you, even after the declaration of this comment by the angels 2,000 years ago, in all these thousands of years of human history, there's never really been a moment of peace. Not really. Not in every quadrant of the world. Nations against nations, tribes against tribes, people groups against people groups. But we all scream out and cry out for peace. Well, Christ can bring peace. And in the end of time, when it's all said and done, he absolutely will at his second coming. But I want you to focus on this for just a moment. First off, the peace that can come also, that is so critical. As much as we want there to be peace in Syria and peace in the Ukraine and peace in Palestine and peace in Ferguson, Missouri and peace in all these different places of the world. Oh God, bring peace, bring peace. The truth is, it will never really happen ultimately until it starts happening with you. You can find peace with God. The peace that surpasses all understanding. You, as the Bible says, you can find peace. When you find yourself in relationship with Him, to literally find yourself to say, I can now walk with God. Christ came in this world to break that barrier of chaos, not only in the world, but in you and in me. And I can find peace with God. And then, through that, I can finally find peace with myself. The sense of shame and guilt, the inner wrestlings that sometimes we often feel, often somehow in the darkest wee hours of the night, we can finally find that peace because we find rest with Him. Glory to God on the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to you. May the peace of Christ not just be a theory you live by, but it's one that you find by your walk with Him. May you find it in your heart. Lead us in this prayer.
Just listen to the words of the Apostle John. as he describes Jesus, who we've been singing of. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that exists. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, as we approach lighting the last candle, the Christ candle, I have two images for us. And I'm pretty sure you can guess what the first one is. This is my son Asher. Asher is 6 months old. He's not a newborn, like the Jesus that we sing these carols of tonight. But he certainly is still an infant. He like an infant. Are you smiling at everyone? By the way, I have to apologize. Billy, when you were teaching that last session, I was smiling at him. And I'm pretty sure he distracted all of the Smiths also. So, I'm going to put you back down. Jesus was a baby. And a baby, the thing about a baby is they're frail. They're completely and utterly vulnerable. And they're absolutely dependent on the parents, right? You know, Jesus, he could have come to earth on clouds, surrounded by a throng of angels in all of his glory. But if he did that, he probably would not have had the effect he had when he came as a baby. See, he desired to show us his love. And if he would have come in all of his glory, I think instead of lighting the love candle, we'd be lighting the "I'm scared out of my mind" candle, right? It would have terrified us. But instead of doing that, Jesus comes in the most unassuming way possible. He comes in a way that is not intimidating, even in the least. He comes as God in the manger to show us that he wants to come toward us gently, in an effort to, in a sense, reach out to us and let us know, "I'm here to show you that I love you. I'm here to show you that I care for you deeply." That's what Christmas is really about. We come tonight and we celebrate, and it's honestly not about dressing up and listening to someone speak or anything like that. Tonight is about one thing. It's about you coming to know the Savior's love for you. You coming to know that he loved you so much that he came as a baby to start on that holy night, on that night. Now, I said that there were two images I want in your mind tonight. The first is God in the manger, but the second, honestly, it's the cross. It's not God on the manger, it's God on the cross. Now, traditionally, it's thought that Jesus was about 33 years old when he died. Now, 33 is just a number. I know teenagers that think their life will be over by the time they hit 30, right? Like, that's so old. And I know adults that look at someone who's 33 and they're like, "You're still a baby," right? So I probably am not going to win with either group when I say that I'm 33. I'm 33. And as I hold him, this is the image I want you to see for a moment. You know, Jesus is born as an infant. And he's born to live a very short life for one purpose. That purpose was to die. And he knew that all along. It didn't catch him by surprise. Jesus came, and he knew when he was sent from his Father that he had one task. His task was to come and to live a perfect life and to experience all the pain and all the sorrow that we experience. And ultimately, to be betrayed and to be crucified. Why? Why go through all that? The answer is, it's why we light this candle. Because he loves you. We light this candle tonight, the candle of Christ or the candle of love, simply because He loves you. If you're here tonight, it's not by accident. You might have been drugged by a friend or by a family member. You might be sitting here thinking, yep, okay, I'm almost over, and tomorrow morning I get to open presents. Let me tell you, my friend, you're here because God wanted you here. You're here because He wanted you here, and He wants you to hear those words. He loves you. And He desires you to know that love. He desires it through knowing that love. You're going to experience the peace and the joy and the hope and the trueness of His promise. He loves you. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of tonight as we light this last candle. This last candle is called the Christ candle. It's called the love candle. It's appropriate to be called both things because Christ is all about loving you. Loving you so much that He saw you in your sin. He saw you in your rebellion. And He saw the price that you had to pay, which is death. He said, I'm going to die for you so that you can come and you can spend eternity in friendship with me. When Jesus is called the light, He says that nothing can extinguish it. Nothing can oppose that light. So tonight, if you're here and you've yet to put your faith in Jesus, this is the time for you to do that. This is the time for you to say, I believe that He died for me. I believe He rose again. I believe that He loves me. But for much of us in this room who have already put our faith in Jesus, this is a nice night to celebrate that truth, that nothing can extinguish the light that Christ lit. Nothing can take away His love for you and for me. And so we're going to end by singing Silent Night with a room full of candles that have been lit, each one of them symbolizing how God's love is for you is never going to change. Now, as you go and celebrate Christmas, may your hearts be full of the joy and the peace that are in Christ alone. May you trust His promises always coming true. And may you bask in the truth of knowing that He loves you. Merry Christmas.